card. You need a Minuteman, you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fit Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. That Dude, Who's That Dude, and Been That Dude Since That Dude, Been That Dude, you heard me? Going down, number one. Keeping it up, came up to come down in your face right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we got some of the best podcasters, some of the best podcasts you have ever heard. www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we get it in. Hey, man, thank y'all for joining me. Thank y'all for tuning in for another episode. I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. As always, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. I'm going to entertain you like I'm supposed to do while I give you this sports news right here. The black way, you know, my way, either my way or the highway, you heard me? So with that being said, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants gives you African history, the stories of the Sunday unsung heroes of the African diaspora, right at your fingertips and on the go. Through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on the website at www.ontheshouldersone.com, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, the On the Shoulders of Giants app, online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG, and On the Shoulders of Giants educational classes, whether digital or face-to-face, and we can do Zoom educational sessions. We know there's Rona going on, so we can do everything through the virtual mediums, but you can also take the information and use it through smartphone, smart board, smart TV, your tablet, your computer. The information is accessible, very, very, very accessible. And to get it, all you got to do is visit the website once again at www.ontheshouldersone.com. And they continue to give you the story of the unsung hero of the heroes of the African diaspora. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, youtube.com/ontheshouldersone. That way you'll be plugged into a whole bunch of great information. All right. So today we got a little lineup for you today. Talking about a couple of social issues tied in with sports and COVID, right? So, HBCU spotlight shining on Mr. Dennis Thomas, who's named a candidate for the 2021 College Football Hall of Fame. HBCU News is talking about the legacy in life and remembering Ken Riley, who's fifth on the all-time NFL interceptions list. One of Florida A&M's greatest coaches, so we are looking at him. He passed away not too long ago, giving him a moment of silence. A black group of owners, of potential owners, they are looking to bring a NFL franchise back to Oakland. And they will be, if it happens, they will be the first black-owned group to own an NFL team in NFL history. So in the state of Florida down here, in the state of Florida. So, Florida name, image, likeness bill, now a law. State athletes can profit from endorsements next summer. So, in 2021, players in Florida will be able to profit from their image, likeness, and name. Also, you know, you got Kyrie Irving. Because the question, one of the questions I'm going to propose is, should sports come back in the midst of all that's going on right now? Should cap come back to the league in the midst of all going on, anything that's going on now, everything that's going on now? So the NBA has proposed that bubble that they want the players to play in, that bubble. But Kyrie Irving is leading a group of players, over 100 players, who are saying that right now is not the best time to come back and play sports. But there's a twist to it. We're going to get to that. So the strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle, is released or fired from Iowa for alleged racist behavior. We're going to get into that. There are a number of NFL and collegiate players that have coronavirus, and that may threaten football coming back. And we're going to talk about that. Chuba Hubbard is a running back from Oklahoma State, very, very, very good running back from Oklahoma State, very productive running back. He's leading a boycott after an image of their coach, head coach Mike Gundy, a.k.a. Mr. Mullet Man, with an OAN shirt. And OAN is One America Network, which is a far left wing or far right wing TV network. Something like that. They were some racist shit. So, and our weekly rant is aimed at that boy Herschel Walker, and that's gonna pain me because Herschel, that dude, man. But Herschel Walker is offering to send the people who are saying defund the police. He wants to send them to a country where no police exist because he doesn't feel they need to be in America, and they are un-American for calling to defund the police. Never thought I'd have to give Herschel Walker the business. Never thought Herschel Walker would end up in his weekly rant. But it looked like Herschel Walker that ended up in his weekly rant. So we're going ahead and get into it. Let me get into it with this HBCU. I like that. Spirit, honey. Oh, yeah, because you look something like this. In this HBCU spotlight, that's ya. I know you feel me in your spirit, girl. Feel me in your spirit. All right, so Alcorn State University graduate Dennis Thomas from the football program was included in the 2021 ballot for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame, which was announced Tuesday by the National Football Foundation. It says, Mississippi Valley State players and center Dennis Thomas of Alcorn State make the divisional player category of the 2021 College Football Hall of Fame ballot. The ballot was sent to more than 12,000 NFF members and current Hall of Famers whose votes will be tabulated and submitted to the NFF's honors courts, which will deliberate and select the class. Thomas was a two-time Pittsburgh Courier All-American first-team selection in 1972 and 1973, and a Mutual Black Network All-American in 1974. He was the first and only offensive lineman in SWAC history to earn SWAC Offensive MVP honors. Thomas led Alcorn to four consecutive winning seasons from 1970 to 1973 and compiled a 27-8-1 record. It included the 1970 SWAC Championship, where the Braves finished 8-1, 6-0 in the SWAC, and accumulated over 3,000 yards of total offense. After his playing career, Thomas won three more SWAC championships as an assistant coach in 1976, 1979, and my birth year, 1984 under Mario Castle. Thomas was inducted into the SWAC Hall of Fame in 2003 and Alcorn A-Club Hall of Fame in 2010. He earned the prestigious Distinguished Service Award from the SWAC in 2019. Thomas is the current commissioner of the MEAC. The announcement of the 2021 College Football Hall of Fame class will be made in early 2021 with specific details to be announced in the future. The 2021 College Football Hall of Fame class will be officially inducted during the 64th NFL Annual Awards dinner on December 7th, 2021 at the New York Hilton Midtown. They will also be honored at their respective schools with an NFL Hall of Fame on-campus salute presented by Fidelity Investments during the 2021 season. Hey, that's what's up, man. So Dennis Thomas was a baller. This is my first time hearing and learning about Dennis Thomas before today. But from what they're saying in this article, Dennis Thomas was a baller. So first team all selection, 72 and 73, and Mutual Black Network All-American in 1974. First and only offensive lineman in SWAC history to earn SWAC Offensive MVP honors. Man, so Mr. Henry Thomas, man. Dennis Thomas. I'm tripping. I don't know why I said Henry. Mr. Dennis Thomas. So we're rooting for you, Mr. Thomas. We're rooting for you to be inducted into the 2021 College Football Hall of Fame and be in that class to go in and do your thing. Because you already balled out on the field. You balled out as a coach. So might as well go ahead and give you your flowers while you're still on this side of earth. So y'all put your hands together for Mr. Dennis Thomas being, hey, finally, being an honoree, rather. Being an honoree for the 2021 College Football Hall of Fame. Mr. Thomas. Hey, Mr. Thomas. Hey, Mr. Thomas. Yes, y'all. And you don't stop. So Mr. Dennis Thomas was out there pancaking folks. Hey, man, they got the stats to back it up. Making all them All-American teams. Got stats to back it up. That means he was out there doing his thing, man. So, y'all make sure y'all look up Mr. Dennis Thomas and learn more about him so we can support him on this journey into the College Football Hall of Fame. And with that being said, that was my HBCU Spotlight Down Chat. Slow down with your homeboy. Oh, slow down. Let me feel you breathing on my chin. Breathe on my chin, girl. Slow down with your homeboy. I'm feeling. Bring it back up. Yeah, slow down. Yeah. Hey. And get a little something like that from my HBCU Spotlight. All right, so HBCU news, right? So college football coaches carry heavy burdens. So Black College Football Hall of Fame coach Joseph Joe Taylor always said, coaching is a ministry. His point was the term coach is often used to describe a game strategist that guides his team in a particular sport. That doesn't begin to explain the daily task of being a head football coach at an HBCU. It became more evident this past weekend that a coach is so much more than just a game strategist. I lost Ken Riley, my second college coach, last week. It was a tough pill to swallow as we talked frequently as of late with my efforts to get the Pro Football Hall of Fame to recognize his career and award him the gold jacket he deserves. And that's why I'm talking about this, because I've been saying it for a while. Ken Riley, Mr. Ken Riley Sr. deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the NFL Football Hall of Fame. He's fifth all time on the NFL interception list. Charles Woodson tied him at fifth on the list as he exited the game. How are you fifth on the list, but you're not in the Hall of Fame? That's preposterous. I still can't wrap my mind around it. Ever since I found it out, I've been advocating for Mr. Ken Riley Sr. to be in the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame. How is he not? I want somebody to explain to me how is he not in the Hall of Fame. He got the numbers to back it up. You don't get what he had, 64 picks. Let me look. Go to Google. NFL all time interception list. So, pulling it up now. So, 65. So, number one is Paul Krause with 81. Number two is Emlyn Tennille with 79. Number three is Rod Woodson with 71. Number four is Dick Lane with 68. Tied at five is Ken Riley and Charles Woodson with 65. Ed Reed is at seven with 64. Ronnie Lott is at eight with 63. Dan Sharpe has 63. Dave Brown has 62. Dick LeBeau has 62. So, I mean, you tell me, like, why is this man not in the NFL Hall of Fame? So, the memorial service was held in Lakeland, Florida, darn near dead center of the state. With Riley's propensity to recruit Florida players, it was in striking distance of several of his former players. In fact, with even the impending effects of COVID-19, over 100 of his players journeyed to the RP Funding Center to say their final farewells and pay their last respects. As teammates gathered, there was an overwhelming theme that was recurring, that Riley's words on life far outweighed in play, any play he ever called. When I played, I was an anomaly. My father and mother were married for 50-plus years, and my father was always a supportive figure in my life. He was my idol till the day he passed. For many of the players, the majority, in fact, they come from single-parent homes. Overwhelmingly, their mother had gotten them to the point in life of being a college student. That's where Coach Riley came in. So many of our post-practice and post-game speeches were about life, much, much, much more so than the game we had just played. I can remember his famous saying today as if he said it just yesterday. If you quit now, you're quitting life, he would say. So many of my teammates mocked him this past weekend in honor of his awesome presence. He was a stickler for organization. Players were required to wear a coat and tie to away games. Players scoffed at the notion at first, but all eventually complied. It was a life lesson learned. He would say, if you look good, you feel good. His words rang true even then. HBCU head football coaches have to be father figures, psychiatrists, psychologists, financial advisors, spiritual advisors, academic advisors, mind readers, and friends to over 100 guys at a time. Given the fact that we are talking mostly about 18 to 22-year-old young men with high testosterone, a golf for adventure, and mentality of invincibility, and you only live once attitude, access to virtually unlimited young ladies, and the bravado attached to their very being on the football team, it is quite a load to manage. So, some players are focused from day one, while others have to be led for four full years. It's part of the territory teaching young men to be responsible and to take opportunity for their physical talents. Have offered them to get an education is the goal of every coach worthy of the responsibility. There is a recurring theme among all of these coaches, though. They will tell you that they are just as proud of the players who went on to be great leaders, businessmen, and fathers as they are of the few who make it to professional ranks. In so many ways, with the statistics stacked so heavily against young men, even making it into college, molding a boy to a man is just as more important than wins and losses. Add in today's culture of intolerance toward young black men and worrying about one of your kids making the wrong choice. It's one of the heaviest burdens of being an HBCU head football coach. Ken Riley embodied what it was to be an HBCU head football coach. He embodied what it was to be an HBCU football player. and an NFL player, a football player, and overall a black man, a father, a husband, and all of that. So with that being said, we're going to give a moment of silence to the legendary Mr. Ken Riley Sr. All right. That, my friends, is my HBCU news. All right, so Oakland Group sends proposal for first black-owned team in NFL history. So the African American Sports and Entertainment Committee and the African American Business Development Group is seeking to bring an NFL franchise back to Oakland, sending a letter of intent to file a formal application with the NFL on Tuesday. They hope to create the first African-American-owned team in the sport. According to the letter, which has been reviewed by SFGate, the business group will not seek out government funds and is intending the development will be a privately financed development operated endeavor. In the group's letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, it outlines its plans for ownership as well as a sports stadium complex at a site of the Oakland Coliseum. Oakland business owner Ray Bobbitt is part of that group and says the hope is to bring permanent economic opportunity back to Oakland through an NFL franchise. It will be such a historic opportunity. The NFL wanted to support the African American community and an opportunity for economic equity. Bobbitt told SFGate, this is an opportunity for an entire community to establish an economic vehicle for itself to be self-sustained. The plans for the stadium are based on Oakland's Coliseum area-specific plan and are intended to help with economic development in East Oakland. The proposal seeks to create job opportunities, job training, housing, including affordable housing, and a hospitality area with restaurants, retail, and a hotel convention venue. A lot of people in that community have been impacted by the loss of two of our sports teams, said Bobby, who co-owns a permanent nightlife venue in San Francisco, as well as a commercial facility management and event production company in Oakland. Our proposal is a unique one because it has an economic component, an educational component, and we want it to be one of the anchors for that site. The plan also heavily focuses on community as the group intends to incorporate an African-American-centric college or university satellite program in sports and entertainment management, sports management, and police science. A sports and entertainment museum is also part of the stadium's plan, so showcasing the city's history of art, sports, and entertainment that has come out of Oakland. Bobby emphasized that the committee's proposal will also be in alignment with helping the Oakland A's remain in town. With this partnership of owners, you have people that are community-minded. It's not just a guy who just wants to make a bunch of money, said Bobby, who also spent two terms in the Oakland Park and Recreation Commission and also founded the Father Figure Youth Mentoring Program in East Oakland. It's a situation where you will have community-minded business people that would really see the relationship between a private and community-based partnership. That would be phenomenal. We've been part of that. Of the NFL for 47 years, we were part of its modern inception since 1966. And Oakland, just being that it's barrier breaking from a civil and social justice perspective, we have this unique ability to just help move social causes forward. The commission confirmed receipt of the letter, according to Bobby, but has not yet issued a formal response. So we might have some black folk in the NFL ownership. Hey, but the time to strike is now. It's brilliant to strike now, especially since the NFL talking about Black Lives Matter. Oh, yeah? But show us that Black Lives Matter. And go ahead and let this group, this black-owned group come on in and bring the Oakland Raiders back. The Oakland Raiders, hey, the black hole would really be the black hole for real, though. Hey, you know how live that would be? For the Oakland Raiders or whatever Oakland team, a team that's back in Oakland. In Oakland, to be owned by black folk. Bruh, sis and bruh, cubs, kin folk, that would be lies. And if everything they're talking about, they really holding true to it, talking about economic opportunities for black people. So basically, covertly, they're saying employing black people, giving black people jobs, giving black people jobs for upward mobility. If that happens, that would be big. That would be historic. I ain't even gonna lie. It's always been my dream since I was a JIT to own an NFL team. So I'm getting my money right to get me an NFL team. So with that being said, y'all make sure y'all support me. Support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Your support will go into helping me improve on this podcast, take it to another level, so I can help more people and reach more people and inform more people and use my platform for more black athletes, excuse me, more black people in the realm of sports, period, to be able to get that information out. So once again, that's patreon.com/thefix. But, man, that'd be live to have a black-owned NFL team in Oakland, and the group is actually using everything in that complex to impact the black community positively in an economic way. Without gentrifying anything, without messing anything up, but really empowering black people. That'll be live, man. That will be so live. Oh, we got to keep our eye on this one. I'm glad I was just scrolling, man. That's how I found this. Because I already had a lot of my topics set. So this one ain't one of my original topics. But I was scrolling just before I started recording. I was scrolling and I saw that and I was like, shit, I got to talk about this. Because we're always talking about ownership. Now, of course, you know, I want a black-owned league, but black ownership in the NFL would be cool. That would be real cool. That would be real, real damn cool. That would be big for the city of Oakland, and especially if they hold true to what they're saying about economic empowerment, man. So one time, the time to do that is now. Now is a great time to say NFL. So remember all that Black Lives Matter stuff y'all been talking? Bam. Here's some paperwork for some black folk that bring the team back to Oakland. What you talking about? Because Black Lives Matter, remember? Remember Black Lives Matter? Remember you? That's what y'all said. Y'all said Black Lives Matter. So bam. Here goes some paperwork for a team in Oakland. So go ahead, holler at your homeboys. So we're going to get this team in Oakland going and doing our thing. So, I mean, you shouldn't have no problem, right? Because you down with black lives, right? So here it is. It is. So keep your eye on that. I said keep your eye on that. So I'm fun. I'm wild. But straight up, though, keep your eye on that, man. That's a nice story for us to follow. You heard me. I said you heard me. All right, so let me move this thing along. Let me move this thing along, baby. That a long, 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 hey. Baby, let me a long, 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 long. So, Florida name, image, likeness bill, now a law, states athletes can profit from endorsements next summer. Really going down. And no Florida law will allow college athletes. This article was released June 12, 2020. So, a new Florida law would allow college athletes in the state to make money from endorsements starting next summer. I'm finna go back and play college sports. I got 4 years of eligibility. I'm about to go back and play, make my money. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, with his soft ass, signed the bill Friday afternoon, adding an unexpected increase in urgency to the nationwide movement toward creating more opportunities for athletes to benefit from the billions of dollars generated each year by the college sports industry. And that's all I've been saying. At least give the players the right to earn money independently away from the goddamn sports, from the school. Let them do it. All other goddamn students can do it. All other scholarship students can earn. But athletes can't. So this was needed. Tim Tebow, remember that you ain't want this shit. Sit your ass down, Tim Tebow. Remember, you, we shouldn't have it. It's ruining the integrity of this game. We shouldn't do this. Yo, quit breathing that. Shut up, boy. It's happening. Shout out to the state of California for getting this ball rolling, though. In response to legislative action in other states, the NCAA has taken recent steps toward revising rules that currently prohibit student athletes across the country from accepting money from third-party sources. Florida's law put additional pressure on NCAA leaders by significantly shrinking the timeline for them to enact the type of uniform national changes they say they prefer. This whole issue of student athletes and being able to receive compensations for their likeness or image is something that's been bubbling to the surface in the last couple years, DeSantis said during a news conference at the University of Miami's indoor football practice facility. I viewed it as something that was a matter of fairness. Why you can do that at FSU indoor, why you can do that fan, you know. Florida's law is similar to those passed in California and Colorado in the past 10 months. California's and Colorado's laws not scheduled to go into effect until January 1st, 2023. Florida's legislation is scheduled to take effect on July 1st, 2021. Yay, yay! 18 months sooner. Roughly two dozen other states are in various stages of considering serious proposals. Hey, man, don't consider that shit, do it. NCAA President Mark Emmert and other college sports stakeholders are strongly opposed to having individual states create new laws that dictate the rules for how college athletes can perform from the use of their names, likeness, and images. Emmert is concerned that a patchwork of state laws could cause student athletes to pick schools based on where they can make the most money and give some athletic programs an unequal recruiting advantage. And I get the thought in that, but you got to realize that you can be a popular football student at the biggest school, but your marketing is trash, or your star isn't as bright as you think it is, and the student at another school who's not as popular as you but know how to work the shit better is actually making more money off their likeness and thing because they're better at business. Now it could work, but it's all on individual basis, in my opinion, because like Tim Tebow could have made a whole lot of money. Reggie Bush could have made a whole lot of money. Like this year, Tua could have made a whole lot of money. But let's say I go to FAMU and I'm on my marketing shit, I can make a whole lot of money too. I'm balling too, I can make a whole lot of money. Like there are things that people can do. It's just them putting their minds to it, right? Like, just because you're at a bigger school don't mean you're going to pull in more money than me off your likeness and image. You have the tools and the advantage, but that don't mean you actually pull it off. You have a better chance of doing it, but that don't mean I can't do it either. So the NCAA's Board of Governors said in April that it supported a proposal to allow athletes to accept endorsement money with some restrictions or guardrails designed to maintain a clear distinction between college sports and professional leagues. The proposal, however, does not provide specifics on how the NCAA would solve many of the most vexing problems with establishing those guardrails and deciding who should enforce them. College sports leaders are planning to iron out those details by the end of October and vote on the proposed changes at their annual meeting in January. There is no guarantee that the proposal will become an NCAA rule. Florida's law includes some restrictions, such as saying that payments to athletes must be commensurate with market value. I think I said that word right. Commensurate with market value. It should be on par with market value in order to preserve the integrity, quality, character, and amateur nature of intercollegiate athletes and to maintain a clear separation between amateur intercollegiate athletes and professional sports. The law also states explicitly that colleges and universities are not allowed to play athletes directly. Right. But it stopped being an amateur sport when y'all started paying coaches $10 million. So fuck out of here with that amateur aspect to being able to keep the amateur lure of it. Y'all stop doing that when y'all start paying coaches these $10 million salaries and shit. So part of the and that's not all coaches, but coaches get a hell of a lot of money. Part of the NCAA's April proposal included a plea to Congress to create a federal law that will both supersede the state by state legislation and codify the guardrails it says are important to preserving the collegiate model of sports. Ohio Representative Anthony Consolis, a former college and NFL player, said he is working on a federal bill that will open the market for college athletes to make money while also putting some restrictions in place to make sure endorsements don't become a thinly veiled way to pay players for their participation in sports. Gonzalez expects to formally introduce the bill in the next month. So, and that's just some of it, long as I don't have to read the whole thing. Some of it, though. But college players should be able to earn on their own. The schools, I agree, the schools shouldn't pay them. The schools won't be able to find a fair way to pay the athletes. But allow the athletes to go out and earn. I don't see why just all athletes are able to earn. You're able to earn on your own. If you're popular and crafty enough to earn off your name, likeness, and image, so be it. If you got to get a job, you got to sell some shit, so be it. Whatever. Just allow collegiate athletes to earn. I don't see what the debate is or what you got to figure out or what you got to negotiate. What's the issue? Why is it such a conundrum to figure out that college athletes should be able to earn on their own accord? Like the young man, the young kicker who had the YouTube channel, he's making money making the trick kicks, and the NCAA told him either shut his channel down or stop playing football. Young man, stop playing football to earn. I'm just saying, it's not right. Y'all put so much accountability on the players and so little accountability on the coaches, which is bullshit. NCAA, stop oppressing these players financially, man. Stop oppressing these players financially. The NCAA, y'all full of shit, man. Stop oppressing these players financially. Allow these players to earn. A lot of these players got talents, mad talent off the field. Let them use their talents to earn. Some of these players have the ability to earn, literally earn off their likeness and their name. Jalen Hurts could have earned off his likeness and his name. Let that man make his money. Shit, y'all making y'all money. Why they can't make their money? If I'm a music student, I could sell CDs. I could put together a CD and sell CDs. If I'm a music student on scholarship, if I'm a engineer student on scholarship, I could build something and sell it. Stop bullshitting, man. Being a collegiate athlete should not mean that you do not have the ability to earn independently away from school. I agree. Don't pay the players. You ain't gonna be able to find out how to pay them players. But allow them players to earn. Quit with that bullshit, man. Quit oppressing them players, man. So I'm gonna keep using my voice and my platform to keep pushing it forward that players are allowed to earn. Across the board with no exceptions that players are allowed to earn. Also keep pushing that Ken Riley Sr. is into the NFL Hall of Fame. All right. Moving forward. So Kyrie Irving has led a coalition of NBA players who are saying we should not be playing ball right now. We should focus on the protest. Now there's a twist in it. So I learned about this early last week, and then by Saturday I learned that a lot of people are saying one of the reasons Kyrie Irving is saying there shouldn't be a season, it should be a focus on the protest, because he feels like the bringing back sports will distract people from the protest. I do agree that bringing back sports will distract people from the protest. I definitely agree with that. But I don't agree with Kyrie Irving coming up with that if the information is true. Because he won't be able – basically they're saying before when Kyrie Irving thought he was going to be allowed in the bubble, in the bubble to watch – to be with his team during the playing of these games, thought he was going to be allowed in the – he was cool. He wasn't talking about not having a season. But once Kyrie Irving learned that the season shouldn't happen, once Kyrie Irving learned that he would not be able to be with his team, he's out because of injury, because of COVID concerns, Kyrie led a coalition of players to say the season shouldn't happen and the focus should stay on the protest because basketball will distract people from the protest. So that angle I don't like from Kyrie, because Kyrie is now being selfish. But I do agree that sports will distract people from the protest, because one of the things that we see is happening is people are paying attention to what's happening with police killings in the protest, because they don't have none. They don't really have the same distractions they would have, right? So before we get deep into that, because should sports come back? Should sports happen? Should Colin Kaepernick playing the NFL again? It's been rumored that the San Diego Chargers are thinking about giving them a chance. It's been rumored that the Philadelphia Eagles have thought about giving them a chance. Should Colin Kaepernick play in the NFL again? I mean, I've said it many times. If you leave it up to me, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'll tell the NFL to kiss my ass. But I can't speak for that man, and apparently that man really wants to be in the league. So if the NFL, like I said last week, the NFL gonna be on their Black Lives Matter shit, well, hey, bring the man back. If Roger Goodell is serious about his shit, if these NFL teams, Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll out there talking like, oh, man, you know, like he was about to help Cap. Pete Carroll, you're full of shit. So, you know, the NFL is a shady-ass place. It's a shady-ass league. Racist-ass, shady-ass league. But, you know, we're going to see. We're going to see what happened with Cap. But I think he should tell the NFL to kiss his ass. Now, I do, as much as I want football to come back, as much as I want to be able to watch NBA playoffs, I would rather have true freedom and reform in America. I'd rather have racism not existing in America. And in reality, that's me understanding that we're going to have to start America over. And a lot of people are like, what you mean? America was built on racism and bigotry and rape and murder and hate and capitalism and the malicious use of rape, of religion. So we got to undo all of that stuff. And until we undo all of that stuff, we just out here talking. Because these corporations and these people can say Black Lives Matter all they want. They can put up statements saying they're in support of the black community. And they can throw money around all they want. But if you're not going to dismantle the system of white supremacy and have an equal redistribution of wealth, power, resources, land, y'all ain't talking about that. Y'all ain't real allies. Real allies are looking to dismantle the system of white supremacy. Real allies ain't just talking and just throwing money. So I do want the focus to stay on that. But then again, I thought about it that, hey, this stuff is always happening. This is always happening, and sports have always happened. But maybe that was the issue, that sports have always been there to be a distraction. So people chose to be distracted. So maybe it's a good thing that COVID, I'm not going to say it's a good thing that COVID has happened, but it's a good thing that sports is not happening while this is happening, so we can pay attention to social issues and not be distracted. I'm okay with not having sports moving forward. I'm okay with it. Clearly, we found a way to be able to still talk about sports and sports topics and sports issues. But I would rather true liberation, true freedom, a true overthrowing of white supremacy. I would rather that. I would rather that happen than to us go back to being distracted and come back years later and still dealing with this. We're having the same issues that people had in 1930. We're having the same issues people had in 1880, 1960. We're having the same issue. We're still here. So I don't, you know, as much as I would like the NBA and NFL to return, I mean, it's like whatever, man. It's not needed. It's not needed. We do need focus. Now, back to Kyrie. So Kyrie let a call. This article was put out on the 15th. So Kyrie let a call on Friday of NBA and WNBA players questioning the return of professional basketball in Florida this summer. On Monday, Irving, along with Los Angeles Lakers guard Avery Bradley, issued a mission statement representing the coalition that appears to signal a formalization of the group while demanding social change. The statement given to ESPN did not provide clarity on the group's plan for the resumption of the NBA season slated for late July in Florida. During the call, Irving voiced concerns about the optics of black NBA players convening in a quarantine bubble to provide entertainment in the aftermath of the racial reckoning over George Floyd's homicide in Minneapolis. As a player representative for the Brooklyn Nets and the vice president of the union, Irving was also a part of the vote that approved the outline of the NBA NBA's plan to return. Huh? As a player representative for the Brooklyn Nets and the vice president in the union, Irving was also a part of a vote that approved the outline of the NBA's plan to return. See, that's my thing. Look like Kyrie playing both sides. That's my issue with Kyrie. Is he's it seems like when he's not getting what he specifically wants, then he wanted to jump sides. Players on Friday's call expressed concern that not all player voices were represented in that decision. We've had enough. Here's the state, and I'm going to read y'all a statement that calls for unity and change. So, we are a group of men and women from different teams and industries that are normally painted as opponents, but have put our egos and differences aside to make sure we stand united and demand honesty during this uncertain time, the statement reads. Native indigenous African Caribbean men and women entertaining the world, we will continue to use our voices and platforms for positive change and truth. He said, Native indigenous African Caribbean men and women entertaining the world. What? Native indigenous African Caribbean. So I'm just saying, I'm sorry, when I read that, I think about the Arawak or Taino. I don't think about Kyrie Irving now. I can see if he was like, you know, foundational or like, you know, indigenous black to America. I mean, whatever, man, whatever. I ain't even finna wrap my brain around. I'm just saying, when I read that, I thought about the Tainos. I'm not thinking about what. But it's Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is also a flat earther. So. We're truly at an infection at an infliction point in history where as a collective community, we can band together, unify, and move as one. We need all of our people with us, and we will stand together in solidarity. As an oppressed community, we are going on 500 plus years of being systematically targeted, used for our intellectual property, talent, and also still being killed by the very people that are supposed to protect and serve us. We have had enough. We're combating the issues that matter most. We will not accept the racial injustices that continue to be ignored in our communities. We will not be kept in the dark when it comes to our health and well-being, and we will not ignore the financial motivations, expectations that have prevented us historically from making sound decisions. This is not about individual players, athletes, or entertainers. This is about our group of strong men and women uniting for change. We have our respective fields. However, we will not just shut up and play to distract us from what this whole system has been about, use and abuse. We are all fathers, daughters, leaders, and so much more. So what is our big picture? We are in this for unity and change. So that's the coalition. So while approximately 80 players participated in Friday's call, others have questioned Urban's strategy of discouraging the return of the NBA or asking why players can't play and advocate for social justice at the same time. I mean, well, to answer that, why can't players play and advocate for social justice at the same time? You can play and advocate for social justice at the same time, but that has happened in the past, and we have not have had the attention in the past that we've had now. Let's just be real. It's something different about what's going on now as far as the attention. The only other time in history I could think about this is like when the people were beat at Selma, and that caught the nation's attention. But this has caught more people's attention now. Of course, social media plays a big part in that. So even in times when social media was going on and you had other unjust killings by the police, there was no attention like it is now. So the group has a point. Now, you can advocate for social justice and play sports at the same time, but look at what's happening with the attention that the advocacy is getting with no sports to distract people. You have to look at that. Sports is not needed. Now, I understand a lot of people are financially affected by the not playing of sports, but sports isn't needed. Us coming back will be putting money in all our pockets, Houston Rockets guard Austin Rivers wrote on Instagram Saturday. With this money, you could help out even more people and continue to give more importantly your time and energy to the movement. Meanwhile, a group of high-profile players has reportedly rebuffed Irving's suggestion behind closed doors, citing financial concerns and the ability to use the platform of the season to raise awareness for Black Lives Matter movement. A group of players including LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook agreed on the call last month to form a united front to return to play. Irving was not on that call, sources told Yahoo Sports' Vincent Goodwill. In addition to his desire to advocate social justice issues, the coalition is concerned about safety issues with COVID-19 cases surging in Florida after the state's loosening of social distance protocols, according to ESPN. COVID-19 continues to expand in Florida after reopening plans were initiated 6 weeks ago alongside increasing testing. The state reported record numbers of daily COVID-19 cases for 3 consecutive days last week. Meanwhile, the United States claims more than 2.1 million of the world's nearly 8 million confirmed cases of the coronavirus, with more than 115,000 of the planet's confirmed 434,000 deaths. It's a lot of concerns. I'ma just say sports isn't needed. As somebody who's on a sports podcast talking about sports, I will say sports isn't needed at this point in time. I would like for it to be here, but sports isn't needed. Because look at the amount of attention that we're getting for these social issues, what we've never had before. So that has to be taken into account. But Kyrie Irving's personal motives also have to be taken into account. And I think that kind of dampen things. I do think NBA will come back. And they've already said that if you don't want to come back, you don't have to. You're just not going to get paid. So that's that. The NBA is coming back. Now, the NFL, on the other hand, the NFL has bigger concerns because the NBA is creating this bubble with 22 teams, and they'll be enough for like 2 months. But the NFL has a whole season to play. And the NFL, The NFL, some NFL teams, like Shannon Sharpe said, some NFL teams have as many coaches as NBA players have on their roster. So the NFL being played in the bubble, I don't see that happening. I really don't see that happening successfully. You would have to give the NFL a small city with a number of stadiums around that small city so games can be played every Sunday. They have to have 16 stadiums. They would have to have 16 stadiums so games can be played every Sunday in a small city, and things are controlled and people can't leave the city. And if you come in the city, you're in the city. And if you leave, you can't come back. Now, how they going to make that happen, I have no idea. So, in addition to social issues, COVID is the concern when it comes, when we're talking about the return of sports. So, I don't have a problem with sports not being played, because we're pushing social issues, mainly the rights of black people to not be unjustly killed by cops or white people, and to dismantle the system of white supremacy. I ain't mad at it at all. So, man, let's keep pushing the issue forward. Let's keep talking about it. Hey, man, y'all protesters, keep giving them hell. Just remember, man, we're focusing on black people being killed unjustly by the police. Black people, not just black men or just black women, but black people, black men, women, and children. So the University of Iowa football program, they cut ties with strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle after claims of biased behavior based on race. So Iowa has reached a separation agreement with longtime football strength coach Chris Doyle, the school said on Monday. The agreement signed Sunday is effective immediately. Doyle, who had led Iowa strength and conditioning programs in 1999, was placed on paid administrative leave June 6th after a large group of former players had spoken out about mistreatment in the program. Most of the allegations come from black players and focused on Doyle. So why give him a paid leave out? If you feel like he did wrong, don't give him no paid leave out. Let his ass go. Some players also made allegations toward head coach Kirk Ferentz and several on-field assistants. Doyle, the nation's highest paid strength coach at $800,000 annually, will receive 15 months salary, which equates to two payments of $556,249.50. He and his family will receive benefits from Iowa for 15 months or until he finds employment elsewhere. He is also prohibited from seeking employment at Iowa or holding strength and conditioning camps at the university. Doyle's son, Dylan, a linebacker for Iowa, announced last week he will be entering the NCAA's transfer portal. Hey, man, tell your motherfucking daddy not to be racist. Iowa City has been home to our family for 21 years, Doyle said in a prepared statement. I am grateful Iowa football provided an opportunity to work with incredible players, coaches, and support staff. I have worked diligently to make a positive impact on the lives of student athletes, support them as they seek out, and look forward to continuing growth. I am confident that my record and character will be confirmed, and in the course of the independent review, the university and I have reached an agreement, and it is time I move on from Iowa football. My family and I are looking forward to the next chapter. Bruh, are you not even to fight it? Yeah, all right. In a June 7th statement, Doyle said he never crossed the line of unethical behavior or bias based on race. Former players alleged Doyle disparaged, demeaned, and bullied them while in the program. Iowa athletic director Gary Barter decided last week that separating from Doyle would be the thoughtful and sensible approach for Iowa to move forward. Barter spoke with Ferentz, who fully supported the decision, and then began discussions with Doyle that led to Sunday's signing. This was not a decision that I made lightly, Barter said Monday, and it's just one piece of the plan that's going to be needed for us to move forward. Barter said that the external review led by Kansas City law firm Hutch Blackwell likely would take weeks, but had no specific end date. The review will report to University President Bruce Harrell, and while Iowa Athletic Department staff members have no oversight, they will cooperate. I'm sorry to former student athletes, coaches, staff, current student athletes, anybody who's had a negative experience with Iowa football, Barter said. When I say negative, if you felt mistreated, misled, discriminated against, whatever the cause, I am truly sorry. So, hey, man, y'all can do your investigation and all that stuff there, but, you know, I haven't done my independent investigation, but I'm inclined to believe these players because a lot of racist stuff has been going on for a long time. We know it behind closed doors, and people have not been able to speak out about it, and now they are. So speak up and speak out. And I do need information to confirm my feelings, but I just feel like the players are not lying. So, hey, man, Chris Doyle, it is what it is. Don't be racist. Allegedly. Don't allegedly be racist. So that's that story. So the NFL got a couple COVID cases. And them COVID cases are from some notable names, notable players. And so this will maybe put a halt on the return of the NFL, like I was just talking about with the NBA. So the NFL isn't backing down from its hope of a season in 2020 amid the COVID-19 pandemic, despite facing a new set of problems and dwindling time to get everything figured out. Things appear to be swiftly getting back on track in time to end the virtual offseason on June 26th and potentially aim at opening training camps in mid to late July, if not slightly sooner, but things are taking a dark turn as of late. Groups of players from several teams tested positive for the coronavirus in June. Headlined by Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, which, let me speak on that. Ezekiel Elliott, from the information that I received, that I gathered, Ezekiel Elliott's agent was called to confirm somebody getting information about Ezekiel having COVID. So how the fuck they get that information about Zeke being positive with COVID? That sounds like a HIPAA violation to me. That's all I'm saying. Somebody called Zeke's agent saying, hey, man, is it true that Zeke got COVID? Well, what you mean? How you know Zeke got COVID? Who told you? That's what I would have been like. But the agent did confirm it. But I would have been like, who told you? And then I would have went and found out where he found it out from. And, hey, man, that's a HIPAA violation. Somebody got to get fired. But anyway, you know, it's headlined by Ezekiel Elliott, leading to the NFLPA asking players to halt all private workouts with teammates from here on out. Each of these situations is a black eye to the chances of the NFL to return in the fall. But the league is reportedly still optimistic there will be games played in 2020, per Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. The NFL and NFLPA recently released a joint statement of stringent COVID-19 protocol each team must adhere to before players are allowed to return to facilities. Excuse me. A list that includes rearranging the locker room and redesigning on-the-field group workouts, but head coaches Jim Harbaugh and Sean McVay have already professed some of it as humanly impossible, given how football is a contact sport. Right. None of it seems to deter the league's front office, though, with their bigger concern seemingly being if fans will be allowed to attend games. When it comes to that, the league reportedly isn't so hopeful. Despite states like Texas having entered phase 3 of reopening, granting teams permission to house up to 50% stadium capacity. But how do you expect – now, football is the ultimate contact sport. I'm not seeing how – so you can't social distance in the game. You right in people's face. Like, body fluids flying. You're not going to be able to prevent people from doing that in the course of a football game. COVID going to be passed in football games. I don't see how you're going to play football and not have COVID be spread. I see not having fans there. But you want to get to a point to where all the players are in a confined place in quarantine. But you, I don't know, unless you take over a small town, I don't know how the NFL is coming back. Unless you put everybody in the small town that's contained, when you come in, you got a quarantine for 14 days, get tested and everything, get treated if you got it, and then be able to see your people, but then you can't leave. And if you leave, you can't come back. So I don't know. I don't know how you do that for football, because it's such a contact sport. That was in early June, before the rash of the positive COVID-19 test that included both Cowboys and the Houston Texans, and the reopening of Florida has met with positive tests from at least one coach and several players of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That said, it remains unlikely teams like the Cowboys would be willing to take on the liability of reopening doors to fans. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the leading voice on how the country should manage the coronavirus pandemic, agrees that all hope is not yet lost for a possible NFL season in 2020, albeit with a stern warning. Fauci feels the only way it will or can take place is if the league follows the example of the soon-to-reopen NBA, as the latter readies to resume its season at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, as a bubble once again. The NFL's bubble would have to be a small town. They got too many goddamn people. So that's, you know, they're getting that. And that's the thing with NFL. I just don't see, unless they took over a small town or they come up with something I haven't thought about. But I'm gonna think about different ways NFL can come back. But for right now, I just don't see it. How you keep people safe in the game of football. I don't see how any football can be played without coronavirus being spread. I just can't see it unless you got vaccines or unless you just isolate people in a bubble. You're going to have to isolate people in a bubble. So that's talking about elementary, middle school, high school, college, and pro. City league, church league, semi-pro, flag football, Canadian football, arena football. How you keep that shit contained? That's all. That's just all I'm asking. All right, so Oklahoma State players back their excellent running back, Chuba Hubbard's boycott after image of Mike Gundy wearing an ONN shirt surfaces. So Oklahoma State star running back Chuba Hubbard is demanding change. Hubbard responded to a tweet on Monday afternoon that showed Coach Mike Gundy wearing a One America News Network TV shirt on a fishing trip last week, saying, I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. I will not stand for this, Hubbard said. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. Hubbard and Gundy later came to an agreement that they shared via video on social media, and star running back followed up with a written message on Twitter on Tuesday, though Hubbard's teammates clearly had his back after his original message was sent. Oklahoma State linebacker Amen, a fellow Canadian, shared the statement, the same sentiment, in a tweet that read, "I stand with him." This is Chuba Hubbard's original tweet. I would not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. The Cowboys star offensive lineman Tevin Jenkins said he and his entire unit stand behind Bubba Hubbard as well. Former OSU All-American Justice Hill and former All-Big 12 cornerback A.J. Green, now respectively with the NFL Ravens and Browns, also offered their support. He said Hill, OSU athletics and university needs major change. Star wide receiver Tylan Wallace said that Hubbard's decision is about way more than football. Oklahoma State Athletic Director Mike Holder commented on the boycott in a statement released by the school this afternoon has been very disturbing. He said the tweets from the current and former players of grave concern. Oklahoma State President Burns Hargis also released a statement on Twitter about the situation. I hear and respect the concerns expressed by our black student athletes, he wrote. This is a time for unity of purpose to confront racial inequities and injustice. We will not tolerate insensitive behavior by anyone at Oklahoma State. OAN is considered a far-right leaning cable channel, seen as very heavily pro-Donald Trump. Gundy has praised the network in the past for its reporting, saying in April that its coverage on the coronavirus was something he found refreshing. They just report the news, Gundy said, via the Oklahomian. There's no commentary. There's no opinions on this. There's no left. There's no right. They just report the news. Gundy's comments about OAN at the time were overlooked in part because of his controversial comments related to the pandemic and his own plans to push his players back onto campus because he said we need to run money through the state of Oklahoma. The majority of people in this building who are healthy and certainly and certainly the 18, 19, 20, 21, 2-year-olds that are healthy, the school medical people that are saying the herd of the healthy people that have the antibodies may be built up that can fight this. We all need to go back to work, Gundy said, adding that from what he had read, the healthy people can fight the virus. Voluntarily, strength conditioning workouts at Oklahoma State were set to begin Monday. Players began reporting to campus 2 weeks ago. Hubbard was a consensus All-American and one of the top running backs in the country in 2019. He led Division I with 2,094 yards, rushing and returns in 2020 as one of the early front runners for the Heisman Trophy. I heard Hubbard ended up apologizing for how he came at Mike Gundy. Fuck Mike Gundy, man. And Hubbard, you didn't have to apologize for anything. You didn't do nothing wrong. You didn't say nothing wrong. You called him out the way he needed to be called. Mike Gundy with that ugly-ass mullet needs to shut the fuck up. And if Mike Gundy got fired, I wouldn't be mad. He's only in, what, 17 years that he's been there? 15 years? He's only beat Oklahoma twice? It's not like Oklahoma State really out here balling. He's winning just enough games to stay there. So it's out in the open that Mike Gundy supports white supremacy. Just like it's out there in the open that Dabo Swinney supports white supremacy. Now, people are saying that Mike Gundy should be fired. People don't think Dabo Swinney should be fired. The difference is Dabo Swinney is winning, and Mike Gundy isn't winning like Dabo Swinney is winning. I wouldn't be mad if either one of them were fired. Because we're finding out who people are. Mike Gundy, we know he's a dick. We know Mike Gundy's a dick. He wears a mullet. But a lot of stuff that he said in the past. So he's supporting OAN. He support white supremacist stuff. So, you know, we know how we see him. Now he gets side eyed because he support white supremacy stuff. So, Mike Gundy, man, we see where you at, bro. We know about you. See where you at. We know about you. So, might as well just come on out, fully from out that road and just embrace it. But we know where you at. We know you support. We got proof that you support white supremacy. So there it is, Mike Gundy. I'm for it. Come at me, I'm for it. I'm a man. I'm for it. Remember that with Mike Gundy? I'm a man. Fuck out of here, Mike Gundy, man. Mike Gundy, you full of shit, and we know you support white supremacy now. So your weak ass defenses of it not working. So we see you, bruh. We see yes. We see you. So it is what it is. So whatever happens to you, man, it happens, and I won't be mad. I really won't be mad. You know, I ain't the one to call for people's jobs, but if Mike Gundy lost his job, trust me, ain't nobody going to be mad that Mike Gundy lost his job at Oklahoma State. Not with that ugly-ass mullet. Nobody would be mad. Nobody would be mad that Mike Gundy lost his job with that ugly-ass hair. And that's all I got to say about that. So, Mike Gundy, you can jump off a bridge, man. But it's time. It's time. time for my weekly rant. And it's aimed at that boy, Herschel, sit your dumb ass down, Walker. Herschel Walker is offering to send people who are calling to defund the police, send them to a country where the police don't exist. Boy, set your dumb ass up, boy. Retired football star Herschel Walker in a Wednesday tweet said people who don't want police should go to other countries. And people who are dumb as you should go to other countries. I have an idea for all those people who don't want any police. They didn't say they don't want police. They said they want to defund police because policing is racist. I'd love to meet with American Airlines, Delta, and Southwest to make a deal to fly them to countries that don't have police. I want them to be happy, Walker wrote in his official fan page. Yeah, too bad your ass don't have the money to do none of that shit. Walker played for a team owned by President Trump in the 1980s, the USFL New Jersey Generals. He played for the Generals for two seasons in 1984-85 before playing 12 years in the NFL. This is his tweet. I have an idea. I'm going to get from the white man voice. Hey, I have an idea. Well, all those people who don't want any police, I love to meet them at American Airlines, Delta, and Southwest, buddy, and make a deal to fly them to countries that don't have any police. I want them to be happy, those Negroes. Herschel, or should we call you Oreo Walker? Because you're acting like a white man on the inside, dog. That's what you're acting like. The tweet follows one from earlier this week where the former Dallas Cowboys star offered to volunteer as a black leader in an effort to bring congressional members together with leaders from all ethnic groups, both left and right, to find solutions. Herschel, and all sarcasm and full sarcasm. So you've had this grand plan. How long have you had this grand plan? Because racism been going on since before you were born. Racism been going on since you was a football player, and racism is still here. So how long have you had this grand plan to end racial tension? Because you've been sitting on the plan. You've been sitting on this grand plan for a long time, Herschel. Come on, Herschel. You mean to tell me you've been hiding this grand secret? It's like Indiana Jones looking for the Ark of the Covenant, right? It's like Indiana Jones looking for the Ark of the Covenant. Because Herschel Walker has the solution to racism, and he's been sitting on it. And all it took for Herschel Walker to come up with this grand plan to end racism is for people to say defund the police. Why didn't we think of this earlier? Oh my goodness. Why didn't we think of this earlier? Bruh, we would have had no police violence if we would have just said defund the police a long time ago so Herschel Walker could give us this grand plan to end the racial strife. Oh, man. Herschel Walker officially is the greatest American of all time. He has the plan. He's the man with the plan. Herschel Walker gonna end racism. He got a plan. And if you don't like it, he gonna send you on a plane. Herschel, sit your dumb ass down, man. So, this is Herschel. We've criticized people. Why can't true congressmen and women and senators get together with leaders from all ethnic groups, both left and right, to find solutions unless certain people in Washington don't want to see a change? I'm volunteering myself as one of the black leaders. See, the problem with that, though, Herschel, is your ass ain't a black leader. You are not a leader. You don't speak for black people. You only speak for yourself. You only speak for yourself. You don't speak for black people, and you're not a leader for black people. You were just a real good football player. just an old ass nigga with a lot of muscles right now who just talking a lot of dumb shit. So, and they're saying Walker, Herschel Walker's been a long time friend of Trump following his playing days and serves on the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. Well, everybody Trump hired is doing a bad job. Trump retweeted the Herschel Walker thing. Like, Herschel Walker, come on, bro. No matter how you feel personally about Trump, you can't sit here and act like a lot of everything that's happening on a racial level is not happening. That's bullshit. You blatantly decided to ignore reality for your own personal gain because you want to feel good about Donald Trump, because you want to keep a good image about Donald Trump. I don't care what he's done to you personally. Donald Trump is a fucktard. And racism in America is real. Black people in America are being killed by the police. Black people in America have been harassed and demeaned and terrorized by the police since the inception of original police forces or slave patrols back in the 1500s, 1530s in Central America. In the Americas, with the slave patrols in the South and the day and night watches in the North. The fugitive slave laws, all those things. Herschel, shut the fuck up, man. Look, as a black man in America, I don't care how fond of white people you are. You're a fool and a sellout and a coon to sit here and actively deny what's a heavenly documented reality as a black person. So remember, Herschel, when you get your Negro wake-up call, we don't know what you're talking about. Because when Herschel get his Negro wake-up call, we're going to call Delta, Southwest, and American Airlines and see if we can fly him away to a place to wherever his issue at don't exist. Since you want to side with white supremacy on this, Herschel Walker. Because that's basically what you're doing. You're cooning, you're selling out, you side with white supremacy. You're deciding that, hey, I'm a friend of Donald Trump, and things are going well, and black people shouldn't be, or people, peers, shouldn't be talking about defunding the police because the police is doing a fine job. If these black people would just stop being criminals, the police wouldn't have to do things like this. Same old bullshit. I know I'm adding stuff, but I just feel like that's what he said. Man, stop with the clown and stop with the cooning, man. Take the white gloves off, Herschel. Herschel, your jazz hands are showing, Herschel. Damn. You're smiling, Herschel, with your jazz hands. You're tap dancing. Stop doing that, man. You're making yourself look like a damn fool, Herschel Walker. Like a damn fool. Like, for real. It's about time Negroes like you go to hell. And go away. Like, the system of white supremacy is being exposed. Like, we see this shit. You ain't gonna see him tell me. Bro, I can go to Facebook Watch. Like, every time I go to, like, the Facebook Watch, I'm in the Facebook app, right? And I'll be forgetting about it. Sometimes I'll be scrolling. But when I go to, like, the little watch where you can watch the little TV and the little videos and stuff, man, it's always like police brutality videos, like, for real. So yeah, videos on watch. When I go to videos on watch, it's like always police brutality videos. So I mean, like, Herschel Walker, like, police reform, realignment, re-everything need to be done. Like, America has to start over. The police force has to start over. Like, all this is built on a system of white supremacy and advantage and oppression, suppression, and things like that, right? All that, this America was built on that. The law enforcement systems were built on slave patrolling and oppression of black people. And that's the reality of it. So you're going to have to stop acting like shit don't exist for real, man. You're going to have to stop acting like black people or people are just out here making shit up. You have to stop that, man. You're being a bitch. It's big and strong. I hate to see big, strong black men act like such bitches for white people, man. That's for real, Herschel Walker. Be a man. No, for real. Be a fucking man. You be like a little bitch right now. Be a man. Ain't y'all ain't tired of cowering for white people. I ain't tired of having to kiss white ass. You ain't exhausted from trying so hard to be accepted by white people. Like, y'all ain't exhausted from that shit. Come on, man. You're irrelevant. You probably just said that shit so people would mention your name. You're irrelevant, man. Now, you're nothing but a football player at this point. You're nothing but a football player. Nothing but a nigga who can run up and down the field with a ball in your hand. And you have the nerve to sell your people out. Y'all keep forgetting, man. Black folk beat up for y'all before white folk even give a shit about y'all. Before white folk even can make a profit off y'all niggas out here playing with these balls. White folk, before white folk gave a shit, black folk been the ones holding y'all down. But yet, a lot of y'all sell out coon ass. All you sell out coon ass niggas. First chance y'all get. Y'all sell out y'all people. Sell yourselves out, sell your families out. For white acceptance. For white people who don't like you and who will do nothing but treat you as a pet and discard you when they're done with your dumb ass. What the fuck up, Herschel? Wait up. I want to say it pains me, but I'm old enough to understand and I'm studied enough and wise enough to understand that just because I saw Herschel Walker as more doesn't mean he is. Or I thought he was more doesn't mean he is. So, the real bitch assness of a lot of these black athletes that we grew up watching is coming out. And it's time for us to call them out. We ain't standing for nobody going to be sitting here trying to uphold the system of white supremacy. So, fuck that. Fuck that. Fuck that. If you ain't about dismantling the system of white supremacy, we ain't rocking with you. And that's that. So, hey man, another episode in the bag of the Fix Sports Podcast. It's your homeboy, Joseph Ward, right here, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, you can support your homeboy on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. Patreon.com/thefix. Hey man, follow me on Instagram at TheRealJosephWard. Twitter, Joe Ward 84, Facebook, Joseph Ward, LinkedIn, Joseph Ward. I think I'm on TikTok at the Joe Ward. So yeah, I'll let your homeboy, Freedom Train Radio, man, Freedom Train Network, the Fix, man. We out you, we out you, we out you.
I've called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can't hear the ball.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nassau. There's no one that